May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, George and Jane have invited their elderly priest for dinner. And while they're in the kitchen preparing the meal, the priest is in the dining room with their 5-year-old daughter. "So tell me, Emma," asks the priest, "do you know what we're having tonight?" "Goat," replies Emma. "Goat," says the startled priest. "Are you sure about that, Emma?" "Oh, yes, father," replies Emma. "I heard Daddy say to Mummy, today is just as good as any to have the old goat for dinner." No respect. Well, God is so very present in our lives, and we mostly don't recognize it. We certainly have a hard time recognizing God's presence in our lives when things are going badly. But how often have you looked back on your life, and with hindsight, you can see how God was at work even when the going got tough? It makes me think of that footprints poem, when there are two sets of footprints in the sand. But when the author's life was most difficult, he only saw one set of footprints and thought that meant that Jesus had left him at those most difficult times in his life. But the Lord replied, "You only see one set of footprints when you were suffering, because those are the times that I carried you." In our first reading from the book of Genesis, we have a story about Joseph, the son of Jacob, who suffered a great ordeal. Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers, who had been extremely jealous of them, for he was their father's favorite son. And the caravan that took Joseph traveled to Egypt, and there Joseph rose to great power and prominence, becoming Pharaoh's prime minister. Thanks to Joseph's great intelligence and organizational skills and his strong relationship with God, Joseph was guided by a dream that Pharaoh had to store up grain for 7 years to help them through the 7 years of drought that were coming. Joseph's family had come to Egypt to buy grain, for they were also suffering from the famine. And as Joseph explained in our reading when he revealed himself to his brothers, he explained, "Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save your lives that God sent me here. God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God." How often do we actually misunderstand what God may be doing in our lives because we don't trust him enough? God is very much at work in bad times as much as in good times, and maybe even more. And it's generally in bad times when our faith is most tested and when we need to trust him the most. There's that verse from St. Paul that goes, "All things work for the good for those who love God." Joseph is an example of that. And he went through terrible hardship, but God used him and redeemed his hardship for a greater good. And so next time you're suffering or afflicted in some way, don't let it push you away from God, but let it draw you nearer to our loving Lord and strengthen your relationship with God through the hardship. Be confident that God loves you and always knows and wants what is best for you. During hard times, the hard times of our lives, that is when God is carrying us. If life isn't hard enough, in our gospel reading, we learn another radical, challenging teaching. Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Do good to people who hate you. Bless people who curse you. Pray for people who treat you badly." Well, that's just not normal. Our normal response for someone who hates you or is mean or says lies about you is perhaps to hit back and to argue and to have nothing to do with them and to even allow the hate that they may be dumping on us to not to pollute us and cause us to hate them in return. But that norm is what Jesus is challenging. Rather than returning hate for hate, Jesus reminds us of the golden rule. So can you remember from Sunday school, what's the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So that's the kingdom in action. The kingdom that Jesus preached and lived, it was all about a glorious and uproarious, absurd generosity. Think of the best thing you can do for the worst person and go ahead and do it, Jesus would say. Think of what you'd really like someone to do for you and do it for them. Think of the people to whom you're tempted to be nasty and lavish generosity on them instead. These instructions have a fresh, spring-like quality. And they're all about new life bursting out energetically, like flowers growing through concrete and startling everyone with their color and vigor. In last week's gospel, we heard Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus was speaking to those who were poor and hungry and sorrowful and hated. He was speaking to those who were hated, and he was saying, "Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you." In other words, bring them before God and offer no resistance to anyone who deprives you of your most basic possessions, such as your coat or even your shirt. Jesus says it's easy to love those who are loving to you. That's quite normal. But to love your enemy and those who hate you and seem to be a threat, that's not normal. But it is the norm and what is expected in God's kingdom. And when you break free from the restraints of this world's norms and live the radical life of love, that is something that God will notice, and you will be doing as God does. Jesus says, "Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High." When we do this, we are truly following the way of our Lord Jesus. There are plenty of passages in the Old Testament that talk about God destroying the wicked and seeming to be merciless to sinners. But here's a verse that reverses that notion. This is one of the verses that jumped out at me from today's gospel passage. It's in verse 35. Jesus says that God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Jesus said, God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. And he certainly modeled that in his life. And that is how we are to be. And that is how we will challenge and change the darkness of this world, when we confront hatred and evil with love. Wrestle any thoughts of revenge or hatred into submission and respond as Christ would do, with love. And slowly but surely, that is how we will change the church and this world, one heart at a time, with love. Thanks be to God through Christ our loving Lord. Amen.